This chapter begins by showing that changes in supply and demand influence the equilibrium price and quantity of goods and services exchanged around you every day. Later in this chapter, you will study situations in which the market mechanism fails and examples of how we have modified the free enterprise system in our attempt to minimize these deficiencies. In the last chapter, we mentioned some non-price determinants that can cause a shift in demand and supply curves. When either demand or supply shifts, the market price will change. What are some examples of non-price determinants that can cause a change in demand? We can identify at least five things that can cause a shift in demand curves. When more consumers enter the market, there tends to be an increase in demand. When the number of consumers in a market declines, demand tends to decrease. As consumers' tastes and preferences change, demand curves change. As consumers' real incomes change, they will buy more of some things and less of other things. As consumers' expectations change, their demand for certain goods and services can change. When the price of related good or services change, then the demand curve for the original good or service can change. This graph shows what happens when demand increases from D1 to D2. For a while, there is a shortage. This shortage in the market causes the equilibrium price to increase over time from $600 to $900. Because of the shortage, the price mechanism decides who gets and who does not get. The highest bidders will get. The highest bidders are those people with the most money and the greatest desire. This graph shows what happens when demand decreases from D1 to D2. For a while, there is a surplus. This surplus in the market causes the equilibrium price to decrease over time from $30 to $20. Because of the surplus, the price mechanism will push the market price down as suppliers try to get rid of the surplus. This graph shows what happens when demand decreases from D1 to D2. For a while, there is a surplus. This surplus in the market causes the equilibrium price to decrease over time from $30 to $20. Because of the surplus, the price mechanism will push the market price down as suppliers try to get rid of the surplus. There is a difference between the equilibrium price and the market price. The equilibrium price will change at the same time that demand or supply shifts. But because of time lags, the market price changes over time. An increase in demand will lead to an increase in the equilibrium price. This leads to an increase in the quantity supplied as measured on the horizontal axis. A decrease in demand will result in a decrease in the equilibrium price and a decrease in the quantity supplied. Eventually, the market price will decline as a result. We recognize six things that can affect a change in supply curves. The more suppliers there are in the market, there's a tendency for supply to increase, and vice versa. A change in technology can lead to an increase in supply for some things and a decrease in supply for other things. When resource prices decline, there's a tendency for supply to increase as it becomes less expensive to supply, and vice versa. Favorable tax policies or subsidies from the government can affect a change in supply curves. Just as with demand, a change in people's expectations can cause a change in supply. When the price of related goods or services change, the supply curve of the first can change. When supply increases from S1 to S2, for a while, there is a surplus in the market. This surplus will lead to a decline in the equilibrium price as suppliers try to get rid of the surplus. The equilibrium price would decline from $3 to $2. At $2, there is no shortage, nor is there a surplus. Thus, $2 is the equilibrium price. An increase in supply will lead to a decrease in the equilibrium price and an increase in the quantity demanded. This graph shows what happens when the supply curve decreases from S1 to S2. For a while, there is a shortage in the market. As people bid against one another in the market to determine who gets and who does not get, they bid the price up from $400 to $600. $600 is the equilibrium price because at $600, there is no shortage, nor is there a surplus. The quantity demanded equals the quantity supplied. An increase in supply will lead to a decrease in the equilibrium price and an increase in the equilibrium quantity. As the equilibrium price and the equilibrium quantity changes, eventually the same will happen to the market price and quantity. No, the laws of demand and supply cannot be repealed. But politicians sometimes try to change the prevailing price and quantity in the market when they are not satisfied with the results of the free market. Politicians can change the prevailing price in the market by imposing price ceilings or price floors. A price ceiling is a maximum price the seller can legally charge regardless of market forces. This imposed price is called a price ceiling because prices are not allowed to go above this level. An example of a price ceiling is rent control. When politicians want to dictate a lower price than would exist in a free market, they can simply pass a law stating that prices cannot go above a certain level. Here, that level would be $400. In this case, the market would yield a price of $600. Thus, with a self-imposed price of only $400, a shortage occurs in the market. Normally, the price would increase because of the shortage. But with rent control, the shortage is permanent. The following slides will explain why it is difficult to thwart the market. The political reason for imposing a price ceiling is that renters will pay a lower rent than would exist in a free market. However, rent control can be counterproductive for several reasons. Rent control can lead to shortages. This will make it difficult for potential renters who are newly entering the market to find rental property. The lower rents will make it more difficult for the landlords to maintain their property. This often leads to slum conditions. Discrimination can result as renters and landowners find other means to determine who gets the rental property other than relying on the price mechanism. Rent control can lead to shortages. This will make it difficult for potential renters who are newly entering the market to find rental property. The lower rents will make it more difficult for the landlords to maintain their property. This often leads to slum conditions. Discrimination can result as renters and landowners find other means to determine who gets the rental property other than relying on the price mechanism. A price floor occurs when politicians impose a price that is higher than the market price. It is called a price floor because prices cannot go below this set level. An example of a price floor is the minimum wage law. The purpose of the minimum wage law is that certain low wage earners will receive wages greater than would exist in a free market. But as you can see by this graph, the minimum wage law leads to a surplus of workers. We call this unemployment. In a free market, the wage rate for these jobs would decline, thus eliminating the unemployment. The minimum wage law prevents the market to adjust to this surplus. Thus, unemployment remains higher than would exist in a free market. Because of the minimum wage law, there are winners and there are losers. The winners are those wage earners who are earning more than they would earn in a free market. The losers are those potential wage earners who cannot find jobs. Adam Smith is known as the father of economics. He was able to combine the ideas of many economic thinkers, along with some of his own insights, into one concise book which explained the workings of a free enterprise system. His book, The Wealth of Nations, was published in 1776. Adam Smith explained how everyone acting in accordance to their own self-interest ultimately satisfied the general interest. He explained how self-interest acted as an invisible hand leading to the production of goods and services that consumers wanted and provided these things at reasonable prices. The bedrock of a free enterprise system is competition. When generous profits are made in the market, other producers will enter the market to partake in the profits. This increase in supply eventually will lead to a decline in the market price. However, this process may lead to undesirable consequences in some cases. When the market yields some results that are undesirable, we call this market failure. One example of market failure is something we call negative externalities. An example of a negative externality is pollution. We love the convenience that automobiles afford us, but we do not like the pollution that can come along with them. We have therefore passed anti-pollution laws that have all but eliminated the pollution coming out of the exhaust of our current model cars. Another example of a positive externality is public goods. A public good is a good that once produced, everyone benefits and no one can be excluded from the benefits. The free enterprise system would not provide us with national defense, a public education system, or roads. So we modify the system so that these necessities are adequately provided for us. The government imposes taxes on us, and then it uses this tax money to provide these public goods. For example, each time you buy gasoline, a part of the price you pay is a tax. This tax money goes to building and maintaining roads. Another example of market failure is a gross uneven distribution of income. In a free market, there is a tendency for those who have to be given more. And to those who do not have, even what they do not have will be taken away from them. For example, let's say a car is priced at $20,000. If you have the money to pay for the car, it costs you $20,000. But if you do not have enough money, and you have to borrow the money over time, the car might cost you as much as $23,000 because of the interest you have to pay. Why did you have to pay $3,000 more for the car? Because you did not have enough money in the first place. Money was taken away from you. To prevent an uneven distribution of income, the government imposes taxes, which takes more money from those persons who have and gives to those persons who do not have as much. In this chapter, we gave some examples of market failure and how we have modified the free market system to lessen this market failure. Understanding price ceilings and floors, negative and positive externalities, and public goods will help you understand why we have tried to modify the free market system to yield us different results.